No, look, Mary, calm down. Calm down. Stop crying. I'm not accusing you of anything, but just please try and see this from my perspective. You're telling me that you're pregnant, and as far as I'm concerned, we've never had sex, so I can think of two realistic possibilities as to what may have happened, okay? One is that you had sex with me while I was asleep. While I was asleep, probably early in the morning, you mounted me and you stole my gametes. And we all know, frankly, what people would, accuse me of being if I were to have had sex with you while you were asleep. That's the first possibility. The second possibility is that you simply have had sex with another man. Now, no, look, that is that, you've got to realize that from my perspective, those are the most reasonable explanations of you telling me that you're pregnant. Would you care to respond to that? God did it. Right, how did he do that? Well, you don't know. You're meant to have the Immaculate Conception. You're meant to be all godly and free of sin. You must have some idea. Via a process of parthenogenesis, whereby our future son also has LaChapelle syndrome. Tell me more. Hello, 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 and welcome to this edition of The Jolly Heretic. Now, today I would like to talk about the origins of the virgin birth, which is, of course, a central doctrine to Christianity. It's particularly central to Catholicism. When I was at school on many days in my first year with our Irish form tutor, we had to say the Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee, Holy Mary, ever virgin, and so forth. So, could it be possible that Jesus was really born of a virgin? Now, the liberal Christian way of interpreting this is to say, well, no, not really. It was just something that was added later in biblical history because they wanted to give the idea that Jesus was special, and if you're special, you're meant to have some sort of amazing birth. And what more amazing birth is there than a virgin birth? It shows that you are miraculous and you are special and you are important. And there are various other figures in that time, Messiah type figures, who were also regarded as having had virgin births. So it's just a way of saying that they had an ultra pure mother, a mother who was the ultimate desirable feminine, that she was both a mother, which people desire, that she's fertile and so on, but also that she's a virgin, that she's pure and unsullied by others. Well, that's a problem for two reasons, from a religious perspective. Firstly, because they really do genuinely believe this, or at least have done historically, and secondly, because often in the Bible, why would you bother passing something on if it was just symbolic? That is increasingly the evidence is that interpretation, that liberal interpretation, is not the case. A lot of what is passed on in myth has some factual basis, and that's why it is passed on. Archaeological digs are often consistent with elements of the Old Testament, or whatever. There are arguments that elements of John, give the book of John, give incredibly detailed aspects of the crucifixion. They're not just made up. It's passing on useful historical knowledge. So could it be the case that there really was a virgin birth? Well, again, another interpretation, which Protestants or whatever, in order that they cannot reject the creed, will come out with, is to say, oh, well, the word for virgin that's used in the Bible in the original Greek also means unmarried. And so really it's just saying Mary was unmarried or was a maid. But that's nonsense because the people that are experts on the Greek are quite clear that the connotations of this word, parthenos, is that she was actually a virgin. And also what on earth would be the point of going on and on about the fact that she was unmarried? It would just be stressing that Jesus was somehow illegitimate or whatever, which is generally considered to be a bad thing. So we can forget that. That's no interpretation. Let's look at the possibility that Jesus was born via parthenogenesis, literally having a child without having sex. Now, how would this be possible? Well, it may well, in theory, be possible. In 2007, a corrupt Korean scientist called Hwang Wook-suk was found guilty of scientific fraud for saying he'd been doing stem cell research and he asserted that they had managed to clone a human embryo. It turned out this was not the case. They had not managed to clone a human embryo, but what they had found was spontaneous activation of a female of female, you know, of the ovum, basically. I.e. that without being fertilised, the ovum had spontaneously activated and formed some kind of embryo using only the female's DNA. Now, of course, there's no way something like this could survive because what it would be is what it's called fetiform teratoma. It's basically a tumour when this happens and it dies. It can't possibly survive because we are evolved to have children via two people, and so the genetic quality is only going to be good enough if there are two people involved. If there is one person involved, then any recessive genes that person might have are going to come up and are going to cause a malformed, hideous monster. It simply will not work. And that is why, in general, you don't see parthenogenesis. It is the ultimate act of inbreeding. If you have any recessive genes at all, and it's parthenogenesis, then they won't be recessive, they'll be active. And so, therefore, you will just have this mutant freak. So, it's most improbable, but that is what we have to believe. Now, how could this happen then? How realistically could you have a child via parthenogenesis that could survive? Well, you'd have to have very, 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 very low mutational load. So you'd have to have basically no recessive mutations, or very few anyway, recessive mutations. Only then could such a child survive. Now, maybe that's the case. Maybe that's why they talked about Mary being the Immaculate Conception, is the idea that Mary has no original sin, that she was not like other humans. She was totally pure. She had no original sin. Now, how could this be the case? How could it be the case that that Mary is able to have a child via parthenogenesis? Well, it must mean that she comes from a long line of people who presumably are highly inbred such that it is in theory possible for them without mating with somebody else, without needing a mate. The gene pool is so small that they don't need a mate in theory in order for parthenogenesis to successfully occur. And it happens to be that with Mary, it does successfully occur. So you'd have to have lots and lots of cousin marriage for many generations under very harsh Darwinian selection pressure, such that there was any child that had any kind of recessive genes or whatever would die out. And then you would have this very pure line with very, very low mutational load indeed, such that in theory, if you didn't copulate with somebody else, you could still have a healthy child. So you'd have to have this incredibly small gene pool to achieve that. So that there was no absolute purity, which could only be achieved through not marrying out, through marrying other people very similar to you. Absolute purity, cousin marriage, which of course is practiced in parts of the Middle East, and therefore you'd have this specialised gene pool, and eventually with Mary you'd have this super duper pure specimen of evolution with no recessive bad genes at all, and then she would be able to have a child via parthenogenesis. Now, what's been found realistically, what can happen, is what's called a chimeric parthenote, that is to say, a person who is a mixture of both fertilised and unfertilised material. Now, that's been noted. You can have this thing, the chimera, whereby you get essentially a twin at a very early level, so two who are non-identical, and they merge together, and this creates a chimera, which is partly, you know, genetically this mixture and partly genetically that mixture. Now, a parthenogenic chimera, and you do get people like that. It's very interesting. So their blood, let's say, will show no relationship whatsoever to their mother, even though they've been born of their mother. That kind of thing can actually happen. It's quite amazing. Or won't show a sufficient relationship. But with the chimera parthenotes, they are a mixture of these two kinds of material. Now, they are always female, because of course, how can you inherit a Y chromosome? If you're born via parthenogenesis, you cannot possibly have a Y chromosome. How can you? So they're always going to be female. So the only way that they could be male would be if it was an overt male that didn't have a Y chromosome. That is to say, an XX male, a person that was intersex, that had XX chromosome, but was overtly male. This is called La Chapelle syndrome. Now, this occurs in 1 in 20,000 births. So you'd have to have both parthenogenesis, which is fantastically unlikely, plus LaChapelle syndrome. And of course, the other thing is that it would be very difficult for this. It couldn't be inherited via the mother's X chromosome, this LaChapelle, because then the mother would have to have had it as well. So it would have to have sort of spontaneously happened due to some mutation, plus the parthenogenesis. Now, from this, we can calculate that for every Jesus, for every male who was a parthenogenic LaChapelle syndrome person, there would have to be 200,000 females. Now, if that was what was going on, it seems extraordinary if there was that level of parthenogenesis happening, and it could only happen if the people were super healthy, that it is not remarked upon that there were more virgin births in history, or at least in that area at that time. I mean, maybe there were, and people didn't talk about it, or they didn't understand that they were virgin births. Maybe there was something to do with being with a man or something, I don't know, hormones that trigger it, and so they were assumed not to be virgin births. It was assumed that they weren't, or whatever. But that is the only way that it could happen. Jesus would have to be this most unlikely phenomenon of parthenogenesis plus LaChapelle syndrome spontaneously manifesting. Now, this seems to me to be extraordinarily improbable. It's possible. And some of the things that we regard as improbable, they're probably made up in the Bible, have been shown. There have been rationales that have been shown for them. I mean, I'm not saying they're necessarily correct, but for example, if you look at the series of plagues that hit Egypt during the time of Moses and the Exodus, it has been suggested that these follow a pattern that would actually be expected and that would be predictable, even down to the firstborn dying because of where they would have been placed in the house where they were sleeping, and poisonous gases rising upwards and thus not killing the people on the ground floor. This kind of level of detail. I'm not saying that's correct, but it's been suggested it might be. So it could be the case that Jesus really was born of a virgin, and then you would expect other things perhaps to be unusual about him or whatever, and so therefore you get this messianic complex, and you get this person perhaps even who can overtly, his genes are so good that overtly he can survive death, and he can appear to be dead, and yet he can rise from the dead. Perhaps there are all kinds of avenues you could explore, but all I would say is that this seems witheringly improbable, and what is therefore more likely is that the virgin birth is simply the extension of an idea of the ultimate female in evolutionary terms. What is the ultimate and most attractive female in evolutionary terms? It is a woman who is proven to be fertile, so therefore she's capable of being a mother. Brilliant. We have to know that. We need to know that she's capable of being fertile. And the only way we can 100% know that if she is a mother. But we also want her to be a virgin so that there's no possibility she could possibly be pregnant by anybody else or whatever. And therefore, she's the one worth investing in evolutionary terms. So this virgin mother consequently becomes the ultimate female. This contradiction, this paradox, and thus the object of worship in Christianity, and not just Christianity. There are other mythologies where they conceive of the notion of a virgin birth as well. But I just thought it would be interesting to look at how the virgin birth could really have happened. And it seems to me that method would be parthenogenesis plus LaChapelle syndrome. So were there to be a virgin birth in the modern day, we would expect it to come from an area of the world where there are very, very high levels of cousin marriage and where there are very, very high levels of child mortality, selecting out all the people that don't have good genes. That's where it would happen. And that's where it did happen. Well, I hope this has been of interest, and if it has, then please subscribe. It really helps me if you do that. And remember, I live stream Monday and Thursday, 7 p.m. time, 2 p.m. New York. You can send in super chats through Entropy, or you can send donations through Odyssey. And I will see you soon. And goodbye, and God bless you. Goodbye!